Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe. Or, at least, on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
In the sleepy town of Stoughton, Massachusetts, nestled far from the bustling streets of Boston, a storm has been quietly brewing, one that centers around three high-profile cases with a single unsettling commonality: the lead investigator, State Trooper Michael Proctor. He's a man who, by all accounts, should represent the pinnacle of law enforcement, a protector, a seeker of justice. But over the past few years, Proctor's name has surfaced time and again in connection with these cases, raising questions not just about his integrity, but about the very justice he was supposed to deliver.
We begin with the tragic story of Anna Walsh, a 39-year-old mother of three, who disappeared on the first day of 2023. She was last seen by her husband, Brian Walshy, at their home in Cohasset, Massachusetts. Brian reported her missing 3 days later. But by that time, suspicions were already swirling. Brian Walsh was no stranger to the legal system. He was already facing charges in an unrelated art fraud case, where he was accused of selling fake Andy Warhol paintings to unsuspecting buyers. But nothing could prepare the public for the chilling details that would come to light in Anna's case. Prosecutors allege that on January 1, 2023, Brian Walsh murdered his wife in cold blood, dismembered her body, and scattered the remains in dumpsters across the greater Boston area. They presented a haunting digital trail as evidence. Brian's internet searches, which included phrases like "how to dispose of a body" and "how long does it take for a body to decompose?" To many, it seemed like an open and shut case. But as Brian's legal team mounted their defense, they introduced a new layer of complexity, one that had nothing to do with internet searches or physical evidence, but everything to do with the man leading the investigation. What? Trooper Michael Proctor had been assigned as the lead investigator on Anna Walsh's disappearance. On the surface, it appeared that Proctor was simply doing his job, following leads, collecting evidence, and helping to build the case against Brian. But Brian's defense attorney, Larry Tipton, was quick to seize on an opportunity when, in a separate case, Proctor's professionalism came under fire. That case was the Karen Reed trial, and it would soon shed light on Proctor's conduct, both on and off the job. Karen Reed, a 41-year-old finance professional, had been charged with the murder of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, after a night of drinking took a deadly turn. O'Keefe's lifeless body was discovered in a snowbank outside Reed's SUV in the early hours of January 2022. The prosecution's theory was simple. Reed, drunk and disoriented, had accidentally struck O'Keefe with her vehicle, leading to his death. But Reed's defense team argued that the real story was far more complicated, and at the center of their argument was none other than Trooper Michael Proctor. As the Reed trial unfolded, damning evidence against Proctor began to emerge. In a series of vulgar and inflammatory text messages sent to colleagues and family members, Proctor had referred to Reed as a whack job and, even more disturbingly, expressed a wish that she would kill herself. These messages, which were uncovered during the trial, painted a picture of an investigator who was anything but impartial. Proctor claimed that his comments were merely a figure of speech, but for Karen Reed's defense team, they were proof of deep-seated bias. Bias that could have tainted the entire investigation. The revelation of Proctor's texts led to a mistrial in the Reed case, leaving Karen's fate in limbo. But for Larry Tipton, this wasn't just about Karen Reed. It was about establishing a pattern of behavior. If Proctor had shown such clear bias in one case, what was to stop him from doing the same in another? Tipton filed a motion requesting access to Proctor's work phone records and cloud data, arguing that any evidence of bias could be crucial to Brian Walsh's defense. After all, if the lead investigator in the Walshy case was predisposed to certain conclusions, how could the investigation be trusted? Prosecutor Greg Connor quickly pushed back, arguing that Tipton's request was too broad in scope. Connor claimed that Proctor's phone contained privileged information and that an independent examiner was already reviewing the contents for any potential exculpatory evidence. But for Walsh's defense team, this wasn't enough. They wanted transparency. They wanted to know if Proctor's personal feelings, as they had in the Reed case, might have influenced the investigation into Brian Walsh. As these legal battles unfolded, another case was quietly simmering in the background. A case that, once again, had Michael Proctor's fingerprints all over it. The case of Sandra Birchmore. Sandra Birchmore's story is one of heartbreak and betrayal. At just 23 years old, Sandra was found dead in her apartment in February 2021. Her death initially ruled a suicide. Sandra had been in a relationship with a much older Stoughton police officer, a man who many believed had manipulated and taken advantage of her. Sandra's family never believed that she had taken her own life, but for more than 2 years, local authorities failed to act. No investigation was launched. No charges were brought. It wasn't until federal prosecutors stepped in that the case was reopened, and when they did, they uncovered a disturbing truth. Sandra Birchmore had been murdered. The officer Sandra had been involved with was charged with her killing, but the question remained, why had it taken so long for justice to be served, and where was Michael Proctor in all of this? As it turns out, Proctor had been involved in the initial investigation into Sandra's death, but instead of pushing for answers, instead of treating her death with the seriousness it deserved, he had allowed the case to go cold. Proctor had signed off on the initial suicide ruling, despite the suspicious circumstances surrounding Sandra's relationship with the officer. And just like that, Sandra's case joined the growing list of investigations with Proctor at the helm that had gone off the rails. For the families of Karen Reed and Sandra Birchmore, and for Brian Walsh's defense team, these cases are more than just individual tragedies. They represent a failure of the justice system. They point to a pattern of behavior by a single investigator whose actions, or inactions, have had a profound impact on the course of these cases. The question that hangs over all of this is simple. How did one man from a small town in Massachusetts become the lead investigator in three of the state's most high-profile cases? And why does it seem that in each of these cases, the investigation has been marred by controversy? For Larry Tipton, the answer lies in uncovering the truth about Michael Proctor. Tipton's motion in the Walsh case is about more than just getting access to Proctor's phone records. It's about exposing a pattern of misconduct that, if left unchecked, could lead to further miscarriages of justice. But Proctor's defenders argue that this is all just a distraction, an attempt to discredit a seasoned investigator who has dedicated his career to upholding the law. They point out that in the Reed case, Proctor's text messages, while inappropriate, don't prove that he conducted a biased investigation. They argue that Tipton's request for Proctor's phone records is little more than a fishing expedition, an attempt to sow doubt where none exists. Still, the questions persist. How did Proctor miss the signs in the Birchmore case? Why did it take federal intervention to bring her killer to justice? And why, in the Reed case, did Proctor's own words betray such clear disdain for the very person he was investigating? As we dig deeper into these cases, one thing becomes clear. The truth is still out there, waiting to be uncovered. And until it is, the shadow of Michael Proctor will continue to loom over the Walsh, Reed, and Birchmore cases. For now, Brian Walsh's defense team waits for their day in court, hoping that Proctor's phone records will provide the evidence they need to cast doubt on the investigation. Karen Reed's fate remains uncertain as her attorneys prepare for a new trial. And Sandra Birchmore's family, after years of waiting, has finally seen some measure of justice, but not without the lingering question of why it took so long. Three cases, three tragedies, and one man tying them all together. In a small town like Stoughton, the odds of such a coincidence seem astronomical. But in the world of true crime, where the lines between truth and fiction are often blurred, it's just another mystery waiting to be solved.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.